Welcome to the Greater Cincinnati Business Report. Stephen J. Lowenstein with you for the next hour as we look through the pages of this week's Cincinnati Business Courier. We'll begin the program this week talking about a name that's quite familiar to those of you who live in the tri-state area. It's an article on Jeff Ruby entitled, "It's a Family Affair." Jeff Ruby has handed his restaurant empire over to his children. We'll then talk about one piece of one of Cincinnati's largest office towers. Well, it's on the market. I'll tell you about it in more detail in a few moments. Then the bank's situation continues. This week, the Courier is dealing with the city of Cincinnati, specifically the mayor, John Cranley. Will he try to hold up city funds for the bank's music venue garage? Many of you might already know that Hamilton County stepped in to purchase the property that Hilltop Concrete is currently located on, right there on the riverfront, to make way for the changes that the city, the county, and the Bengals want to make there. And the question now is, since they did an end run around the city, will the city want to intervene to try and stop what the Bengals, the banks, and Hamilton County has agreed to do there? We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail in a moment. We'll then turn to Kroger, and they've been in the news a lot lately, specifically for their adjusted earnings and projected earnings. Now, this week, an analyst asks and states, "We're checking it out." From government regulations, here's how tariffs are impacting one Greater Cincinnati company. Then in education, we'll talk about some local universities, or I should say university, securing a LEED certification on one of its newer buildings. Next up today, one of our largest law firms has expanded as Columbus Law Firm joins Dinsmore. Turning to philanthropy and nonprofits, at age 100, Children's Theater of Cincinnati is tracking upward like a toddler. And the story continues between the rivalry among Kroger and Amazon, as Amazon plans to open a new chain of grocery stores around the country. Toward the end of the program, we'll talk about a Cincinnati firm raising $1 million to aid disabled veterans. Macy's partners with an influencer on executive fashion line. And many of you know Rob Braun from Channel 12. He since has left the station, and I'll talk a little bit about what he's doing now since his departure. Let's begin with the cover story from this week's edition of the Cincinnati Business Courier. It's a family affair. Jeff Ruby has handed his restaurant empire over to his children. Jeff Ruby was 13 years old when he fired his first chef. Under the guise of visiting the restroom at Ocean Grove Elementary in his native New Jersey, the young Ruby used a hallway payphone to call his mom's restaurant, the Grapevine. He learned the chef hadn't shown up that day, and his mom was homesick. Ruby ran the 4.8 miles from school to the restaurant, put on a pot of split pea soup for lunch, served, and started trimming the skirt steak for the London Broil. Meanwhile, the New Jersey State Employment Department sent a temp chef to fill in. When Ruby checked on his soup, it had changed in color from traditional gold green to a chartreuse. The new chef had added milk. I told him the recipe doesn't call for milk, Ruby said. He said, I'm the chef here. This is my split pea soup. I said, you're not the chef here. You're fired. The Cincinnati Icon 71 now has 7 steakhouses that set the standard for luxury across the Queen City, Louisville, Columbus, Nashville, and Lexington. He's been firing chefs ever since. That's part of the reason for his success. Ruby sweats the details. His managers visit every table during dinner service. His server assistants will escort ladies to the restroom arm in arm. And if a guest doesn't like the ice cream flavors on the dessert menu, they'll run out and buy another one. The company has a name for that, the Jeff Ruby Experience. My name is on everything from the sign out front to the toothpicks. I take that very seriously, Ruby said. I had better be proud when I go into a restaurant. I better not be embarrassed. For a man so used to doing things in the words of fellow blue-eyed New Jerseyan singer of My Way, Ruby released some of that control when he passed on the reins of his restaurant empire to his daughter, Brittany Ruby Miller, in 2016. In the 3 years since Ruby Miller became president, Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment has opened 3 steakhouses in as many new cities. In May, she finished assembling the company's first C-suite, hiring a human resource executive from Macy's Incorporated, the chief financial officer of Loveland-based manufacturer Coljet, and the founder of Boder Brand Marketing. While the organization doesn't disclose numbers, top-line revenue is up 20% this year to date, and operating profit is up 18%. With an all-star team in place, the Rubies have no plans to open anything new for at least the next 3 years. We could not open a restaurant right now, maintain the level of excellence and quality we expect from our teams, Ruby Miller said. We're not building this brand to sell it. It's time to stabilize. Restaurants often fail because they want to open and open and open. That means more top line, but the flip side is quality falls off. We have a saying here. Short-term greed is a long-term regret. It's not just Ruby Miller. Although she's the eldest, her brothers Brandon and Dylan serve as co-owners and directors of Trading and Talent Acquisition, respectively, positions to become vice presidents in the near future. Jeff Ruby said it wasn't easy handing over control, but he was wearing more hats running his business than he had at home, and he owns 50 fedoras, 20 cowboy hats, and at least 100 baseball caps. Ruby Miller saw that wearing him down. One thing to dance with the girl you brought to the dance, but don't dance to the same music for 40 years, he said. Dance with the girl you brought to the prom, but change the freaking record. That's not to say the founder isn't still heavily involved. Jeff Ruby sees his role as ensuring the guest experience continues to be what diners, who shell out an average of $100 per person, have come to expect. Nobody has eyes like the owner of the restaurant. He said, "I meet with Brittany, and I share what I didn't like and what I did like, and I take pictures with people. They want photos with the restaurateur. I still don't get it, but it shows that they're happy if they want a photo." Started at the bottom. Ruby Miller and her brothers were not encouraged to get into the restaurant industry. When they showed interest, their father made them work their way up from the bottom, starting as hostess or server assistants before trying out other jobs. Ruby brought in transformational leadership coach Ford Taylor and acclaimed hotel manager Russell Menkes, who worked at the Drake and Conrad hotels in Chicago, as well as the Hilton Times Square, to teach Ruby the hospitality industry. Ruby said his daughter wanted to cross the finish line before running the race, but Menkes made sure she got her laps in first. Ruby Miller said working every job at the restaurant and then training under Menkes helped her realize that she didn't know it all. She said there's a saying on the wall of their boardroom: "No, none of us is as smart as all of us." That's why she assembled experts to help guide Jeff Ruby Culinary Entertainment into the future. Chief Financial Officer Tim Taggart comes from Coljet, where he served the same role. His job is to monitor internal metrics on cash flow, capital expenditures, equipment, reinvestment into the restaurants and their people, and a budget line item that only Jeff Ruby's restaurants can claim: chandeliers. The Rubies have a warehouse the size of a football field full of chandeliers, memorabilia, antiques, Art Deco pieces for the restaurant. "The Ruby restaurants are expensive," Ruby Miller said. "Our guests spend money at our restaurants, so it's really important to us. They walk out and they feel that they had a really great experience that was worth the money. You can't get that in a cold, dark shell. People want to see the glitz, the glam, the crystal chandeliers, the Art Deco." Chief Marketing Officer Ben Stallard worked with the Rubies previously as head of motor brand marketing, where he also shepherded brands for Procter & Gamble, Unilever, and Coca-Cola, before they brought him on full-time. Chief People Officer Ryan Coslett comes from Macy's, where he served as Vice President of Human Resources. He represents an investment into more than 700 workers across the company. In an industry with an average national retention rate of 25%, Jeff Ruby's Culinary Entertainment runs closer to 55%. Jeff Ruby has always offered benefits like free health care for all its employees, but the second-generation Ruby is adding perks like a cafeteria, a wellness program, workout room, and personal trainer. Coslett is putting together a 401k plan for workers and is looking at creating what he called an industry-leading parental leave policy. The theory is happy employees work harder to make happy guests. It's paying off. The Ruby's goal is to be 101% better than their competition. That's not just an ambition. It's backed by analytics. They track things like diner feedback, ratings at their competitors. If the nearest one is rated 4.5 out of 5 stars, the Rubies want to be a 4.7. They're achieving that. In Cincinnati, which is a highly rated dining scene, Ruby Miller said they are rated at 101% of the competition. In cities like Columbus and Nashville, they're even better, 103 or 104%. He learned it at the Grapevine. The Ruby brand was built on quality. That stems to Ruby's first restaurant, as he calls it. It wasn't the Precinct, the now famous steakhouse he built with the backing of Cincinnati Reds legends Pete Rose and Johnny Bench in 1981, but his side hustle a year before. He fired the chef at Grapevine. Ruby remembers New Jersey for its submarine sandwiches. The cafeteria food at Ocean Grove was so-so. So, he made an Italian sub using ingredients he pilfered from the Grapevine. Genoa salami, prosciutto, capicola, on a baguette with lettuce, onion, tomato, oregano, red vinegar, and olive oil. Other kids took notice. While the school cafeteria sold lunches for 35 cents, Ruby started selling his subs for 65 cents. I learned, give them a better product and charge them more, but give them their money's worth, Ruby said. Ruby's restaurants only serve USDA prime beef, the highest grade certified. Only 2% of all beef makes the cut. To make sure that's consistent across the restaurants, Ruby Miller hired Lily Birdsall as director of purchasing in July. Birdsall had a history with the Rubies. She taught Ruby Miller and her brothers as an adjunct at the Midwest Culinary Institute at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College, where she also served as the manager of purchasing. She sourced the star of Jeff Ruby's restaurants, The Steak, with 10 different cuts and toppings, ranging from foie gras to cognac peppercorn sauce to a petite lobster tail and average price of $70. Diners expect excellence. But the Jeff Ruby experience isn't just steaks. Ruby often says its people are hungry. They go to the refrigerator. They come to his restaurants to celebrate life. Ruby's restaurants are the epitome of class. Servers will clear off a four-top for a couple on a date to make it feel more intimate, rather than trying to squeeze in more diners to maximize profit. Photos of the Rat Pack have joined the wall. Their music plays throughout the restaurant, at least until live jazz acts come on at 9 p.m. The server in his white tuxedo jacket with Ruby logo will check in about 6 times before the salad course is over, but it's not overbearing. It's more like a friend checking in on you at a dinner party. They'll appear unprompted, seemingly the moment a menu is pushed aside to take an order or ask for questions, and they don't need to ask if you're enjoying your meal. They know what it looks like when someone is enjoying a steak. Kroger CFO Mike Schloppen doesn't need a menu when he dines at a Ruby Steakhouse. His server, Nate, he always asks to get his place in Nate's section, knows he gets the strip steak just below medium, along with 4 oysters. He and his wife split the Freddy salad and fried veggies dusted with Jeff Ruby Steakhouse seasoning. His wife gets 2 jumbo shrimp. The Schloppens have dined with Ruby for 3 decades. They joke that his downtown steakhouse is their Cheers. His kids haven't missed a beat, Schloppen said. They ask someone to do something in the restaurant, they know what they're talking about because they've done it. Ruby Miller acknowledges that she has big shoes to fill and admits there's a lot of pressure. She literally sits in Jeff Ruby's old office at his old desk. She said her main goal is not to screw up anything her father built over the last 40 years, but also to uphold and enhance it. She, too, has had to fire chefs, but her approach is different. Ruby Miller has exit meetings. With them come to a mutual understanding. 2 years ago, she had one with executive chef Travis Mayer. She said they both knew it wasn't a good fit at the time. We parted ways. But 2 years later, he came back completely transformed. Now, he's our director of culinary, she said. Next, let's talk a little commercial real estate. You might as well add city government as a subcategory of this article, too, since it talks about Mayor John Cranley. We try to hold up city funds for the bank's music venue garage. Mayor John Cranley has raised the possibility of holding up the city's share of funding for a garage under construction at the banks that would support the music venue to be developed by a Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra subsidiary. We do have to figure it out as it relates to how the city and county are going to work together. We told them not to advance a lot of this money, and that we're not going to execute our agreement on the infrastructure unless we deal with some of the issues that the manager laid out about creating a new limitation on surface lots that never existed before and are the opposite of good urbanist design. That's what Cranley said in an interview with a gaggle of reporters outside city council chambers after Wednesday's council meeting. There are a number of issues that are disturbing. On April 17th, city council unanimously passed an ordinance approving CSO subsidiary Music and Event Management Incorporated as the music venue's developer and entering into an agreement with the county to build the underlying garage on lots 23, 27, and 28 of the banks, as well as an extension of Smalley Riverfront Park. Cranley signed the ordinance making it law. Cranley has been embroiled in a war with the county for months over the music venue's future riverfront development and the potential amendments to the county's lease with the Cincinnati Bengals at Paul Brown Stadium. Among his objections are plans to move Hilltop Company's concrete plant and an associate asphalt plant and turn it into a grass-covered parking lot. Under the April agreement, Hamilton County will pay for the construction of the garages, the cost of which is usually split 50-50, and the city will pay back the county later. Hamilton County will essentially give the city an interest-free loan from the bank's parking revenue to build the garage. The city will pay it back from banks-related revenue later without dipping into its general fund. The state is expected to kick in $12 million of the $29 million cost to develop the garage. Now, Cranley spokeswoman Holly Stutz-Smith ended Wednesday's question-and-answer session after 6 minutes. It did not respond to a message seeking clarification on the mayor's comments. Casey Weldon, a spokesman for the city manager, Patrick Duhaney, said the administration had not told the county it would withhold funding for the garage. But a county source said that Cranley had threatened to withhold the garage funding. It's unclear where the mayor would get the authority to hold up an ordinance that has become law. Under Cincinnati's charter, the city manager is the city's chief executive officer and carries out the ordinances passed by council. Council has not voted to retract the ordinance. The April agreement does say that the terms are contingent on a venue development agreement with CSO MEMI and mutually agreeable terms on any necessary amendments to existing banks' agreements between the public parties. The MEMI CSO development agreement is in progress. Under the 2007 overall city-county banks cooperation agreement, which remains in force, the city and county split the cost of the garages. The county gets all of the parking garage revenue, while the city gets fees, earnings taxes, tax increment financing, and other revenue generated by the riverfront development. Under the April agreement, the city will pay back the county from the bank's tax increment financing revenue it is entitled to and future development payments. If the city defaults on the April agreement with the county has the power under the 2007 cooperation agreement to bill the city for its share of the garage with interest. One reason for the April agreement was the city's share of TIF money is expected to face a temporary deficit. In absence of the April agreement, if the county billed the city, it's unclear where the city would get the money to pay the county. Crowley wholeheartedly endorsed the financing arrangements in an April 9th letter to council. I'm happy that our administration and the county have negotiated a deal at the banks that will allow CSO MEMI to locate at the banks consistent with the long-standing county request to place it on Lot 27 rather than 24, he wrote. Well, if you've enjoyed the program so far, stay tuned. I'll be back in just a couple of moments with the second half of this week's edition of the Greater Cincinnati Business Report here on Radio Reading Services of Greater Cincinnati. A division of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired.